We're going to do a little bit of recapping today from a couple of past teachings, well, I actually referred to. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Paul and the miraculous conversion that Paul had. Paul went from being one of the worst persecutors of Christianity, down on Christians, stoning them, killing them, all kinds of horrible things that he was a part of, to being a messenger of the gospel, delivering the news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. That's who Paul became. A fantastic turnaround story. And that's great. I love positive stories. I love bringing, that is the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I love bringing good news to you each day. You know, I love sharing positive things. How many of you, though, in your life, is everything in your life positive every day? It's not in mine. I go week to week, day to day, hour to hour, minute by minute. It's not all positive, folks. And I don't want us to have this false assumption that because we become Christians, as Paul did here, that everything goes right in our lives from then on. It's not the case. We often struggle. We have trials and what the Bible calls tribulations, bad events that happen in our lives from the point we're saved on. I mean, if anybody should have led a fantastic life for coming from where he came from to what he was and what he was doing, it would be Paul. A guy turned 180 degrees from being a persecutor of the Christian church to being its biggest proponent and being willing to undergo whatever punishment he had for teaching the gospel to the people around him. Man, that is a huge turnaround. You know, if we were merited by what we do and how much we change in our lives, if anybody ever deserved a free ride through the rest of his life on earth, I think it would be Paul, who was originally known as Saul, actually had a name change along with that conversion. He made a huge effort in his personal life to make a change. You know, you can't tell me that a guy that went from doing that, he had to, you know, turn his back on many of his acquaintances. They were within the leadership in with the Jewish culture there, the Jewish church. He had to leave that behind. So you know he had fragmented friendships and relationships and things that he turned his back on in order to follow God. He made these sacrifices. So if it was based on our sacrifices and what we have done for God, if anybody should leave a fantastic life here on earth, it should have been Paul. But that's not what he tells us. He was having a difficulty in his life. Paul was praying for something that we're going to see here in just a moment in the scriptures. Paul prayed for something that never happened. So here's who I would say, in my opinion, is the greatest writer we find in the New Testament of the Bible, the second half of the Bible, the part after Jesus was resurrected. He is the greatest writer. To me, he's probably the greatest Christian witness that ever, ever lived. So if it was based on God's love for us and what we're doing, Paul should have been at the top of the charts. But yet he kept praying for something that wouldn't happen. And that's what our whole theme is this morning. It's what we do when miracles don't happen. When we're praying for things and we don't see the answer we expect, or we think we don't see an answer at all. And that's what it's going to be about. And I'm going to begin here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ, for when I'm weak, then I am strong." Paul had something that he merely refers to as a thorn in the flesh. The Bible goes no further than that in the explanation. You can read various commentaries and things. We talked about Paul being blind and God restoring his sight when he was on that trip to go persecute the Christians in Damascus. God struck him blind. When he reached his destination, he went to a man that God healed him through that man and gave him his sight back. People say, well, I think what it was after effects of that blindness, that perhaps he had vision problems. You know, and I've heard that for many years. I don't believe that. You know why? Why would a perfect God, who is the master of everything, can heal you completely, why would he do a halfway job on Paul? If he was going to heal him, don't you think he would give him perfect sight? I think when he came from blindness, he had 20/20 vision. Why would God do something that was not within his realm of possibilities there? Now, it could be sight, but I don't really think it was a result of the blindness. It could have been what Paul calls his weakness, that thorn in the flesh. Paul learned a very important lesson here. One of the things he talks about in the first part of this chapter in verse 7 is he had received such wonderful revelations from God, but to keep him from becoming proud. Paul was a dynamic person. Paul had had a lot happen in his life. Paul had gone from the worst of the worst to the best of the best. If anyone should be able to brag about what had happened in his own life, it was Paul. He was going out there. He was getting the job done. He was risking his life for the cause of the gospel, for the message. Paul was doing this on a daily basis and being persecuted for it. That'd be pretty easy to become proud. It would me. You know, that's one of the things that going back to what I opened with, not being seen a step above you guys, I am just like you. My life is just like yours. I'm a human being here. I'm tempted. I fall short. I do the same things you do. I may have different temptations than you do, but I'm one of you guys, and I want you to always think of me that way. I'm not some overly blessed person. I'm not special because I do this on Sundays. God doesn't see Mark and I or the musicians, singers, anybody that way. We're just serving God where he wants us to serve him, we feel. That's where our talents are being used. You know, trust me, you do not want me leading worship at any time here. I can sing nothing. Ask my daughter Allison. It's a horrible sight. You don't want me singing. Some of you are afraid to speak in public. That's fine. God has a niche for each one of us to serve him. I merely do what I think he wants me to do. But I can tell you, as someone being in front of people, pride is a terrible temptation because people start to look up to you. It's a natural thing. They see you as the leader. Yes, we do have some leadership responsibilities. Our responsibility, as I feel it, is to lead the church in the direction that God in heaven wants it to go and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and what his son Jesus did on the cross. Those are what we rely on. We rely on those facts, and Mark and I try and bring those facts through us, through the filter of our lives and our experiences, to encourage you to do the same. That's what it's all about for us. But man, never put your pastor on a pedestal. Never look at us as being better than you. Never look at us as being more spiritual than you. I mean, I don't mind praying with someone, but so often it's like we're the hired professional. Will you pray for so-and-so in my family? Will you go see so-and-so? I'll guarantee you, I do not have nearly the impact on your family that you do. It's fine. I love to pray alongside people, but I don't have the impact that you do. You're just as important in God's scheme as we are. And I want you to look at it as that way. But Paul's temptation may have been that he would become proud and puffed up about what he had done and his accomplishments. And here's this guy that's speaking to Jews, Gentiles, and even kings we saw. If you're important enough to get an audience with the king, that would be like going today during the middle of the budget crisis and saying, "Hey, President Obama, I've got a few words for you," and him taking time out to talk to you. That means that you have an audience with the most important person in your nation. And that's where Paul was at. But God saw fit, for some reason, to give Paul a weakness. There was something in Paul's life that caused him to pause and take notice of it. Obviously, the thorn in the flesh was something he wanted to relieve. He said, 3 different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Paul saw it as either a physical hindrance or a hindrance to his ministry, and he prayed for God to take it away. How many of y'all prayed for God to do something and it didn't happen the way you thought, or it didn't happen at all? Yeah, that's tough. That is a very tough thing to deal with. We often come in as Christians thinking that once we start to follow Christ, that our path is going to be better, and he's just going to take care of everything that goes on in our lives the very way we want it to. And it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes he puts things in our path, obstacles and hardships, and the thorn in the flesh, as Paul calls it, for a greater cause, for something he wanted done. In Paul's case, here's this guy that was obviously a dynamic speaker, a dynamic person. But Paul recognizes and even says later in one of his letters to the early church, he talks about why he teaches in such a simplistic manner. He says, "I want to teach a simple message to you, I want to portray as simply and earnestly and honestly as possible what Jesus Christ, I have seen him do, who he is, what he's done. And I want, when I teach, that message to come through instead of my personality. I want the Spirit of God to fall on your lives like it has mine. That was Paul's plea. I think God put this weakness here to keep him at his word, to keep him from thinking it's all about me, it's all about how I preach. No, when he was teaching, it was obvious that God was all over him. And when that was so obvious, it was affecting other people's lives, and it caused the church to grow. It caused people to grow as individuals. So there was something to this weakness. And we see in the closeout of this particular set of verses that Paul has learned to deal with that. He said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God uses our weaknesses to show his strength. Many of the miracles that we have talked about were not for the good of the person that God was performing them for, or through his son Jesus was performing the miracles, or one of the apostles that performs a miracle. We see in these passages of Scripture miracles that are done to glorify God. Charlie brought this out in his teaching last week. Charlie said something that really stuck with me. I think I even tweeted it last week. He said, are we following God for who he is, or are we following God for what he can do for us? That's a big difference, guys, in why you're following God. And if you are following God because of what he can do for you, what he can do in your life to help you make your life here on earth better, if you are following him only for that reason, you're going to be very disappointed at some point in your life. You're going to pray, and something is not going to happen the way you want it to. That totally invalidates that type of belief. You have followed a God who you think is going to give you everything you want, and when he doesn't, your whole faith system has been shattered because it was based on what God was going to do for you. When he doesn't do that, you're at a crossroad. What is going to happen now? You begin to believe God doesn't love you. You're not good enough. You haven't done enough in your life. Or why would God not answer this prayer? It's a hard thing to accept. You know, we often hear the question people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a very hard question to answer, because a lot of churches and pastors I have heard portray God in a way that makes you think he will never not grant one of your requests. If you just have enough faith, I know you've heard it. If you have enough faith, you'll be healed. If you have enough faith, you'll be rich. If you have enough faith, you'll have a great life. If you have enough faith, you'll be wealthy. It's not true. Paul, I will be almost certain, knowing myself as I do and being totally transparent here, I will guarantee you Paul had more faith than I do. And yet Paul was not relieved of this weakness. So God does things in our lives that we don't understand. We don't know why we're going through what we go through. We don't understand why bad things happen to good people. We don't understand why we are weak when we want to be strong. We don't understand that. It's to build our reliance on God. So we rely on him for everything in our lives. Everything. Who we marry, the job we have, the money we make, the way we take care of our finances, the way we take care of our family, the way we share the gospel message with those around us. God wants us to rely on him in all those situations and not compartmentalize our lives. You don't go to work and not be a Christian. That part of your life is not compartmentalized. You perform your duties at work as you were doing them for Christ, is what the Bible tells us. You do those things in his honor. And so we can't compartmentalize our lives. God has to be a part of everything. But sometimes you want to pray about a situation. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to change your current situation. I know I've talked a lot about him not answering prayers, but he does also answer prayers. I don't want you to ever lose sight of that and be discouraged, because he does answer prayers. He answers prayers in our midst here at Journey. We've seen them answered. I will give the most obvious example I can think of this morning is Mike and Tiffany's little baby, Gabe. That is an answer to prayer. He had a miraculous first breath that separated him from death. Had that little baby not taken that first breath that God breathed into him, he would not be here today. He has used that situation, and Mike and Tiffany and their witness has impacted hundreds of people by this point in time. God did a miracle in our midst. They prayed for that little boy. They had prayed for Gabe before he was born. It started at the moment that Tiffany knew that she had conceived a child. They were praying for little Gabe. And you know what? I don't think that they prayed, God, I want my baby to be born premature, and I want us to go through the hardship of seeing him suffer and the up and down roller coaster of emotions that we're about to suffer. I don't think Mike and Tiff prayed that prayer to you. But God has honored their prayer to have a baby boy, just not the way that they would have expected him to honor that prayer. But is there anything wrong for praying the situation that, God, we want complete health for little Gabe? No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying about your situation as long as you do it in God's will. And let's look at the next passage of Scripture, and this is what kind of backs this up. In Luke 22, this is talking about Jesus. They've just gone to what's called the Last Supper and gone out to pray. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. As he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, and this is what Jesus himself said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. That is some prayer. If you're praying hard enough that your sweat is turning to blood, that is one intense prayer. Notice Jesus didn't pray, God, I am so happy that I'm about to be a sacrifice for your people. I am so happy that my life is going to be given up and all the sin of the world is going to be placed on me. That is not what Jesus prayed. Jesus said, Father, if you are willing, take this suffering away from me. If Jesus Christ himself, as he was here being half God and half man, and all God and all man, can pray that prayer, do you not think that that's a good enough prayer for us? Jesus knew the importance of his mission. He knew God's plan for him to be a sacrifice. Yet he saw it fit to pray that, God, if through still doing your will, there is another way for this to happen, I ask you to do it that way. That is a powerful prayer, folks. Now, what happened? That was not God's will. Jesus went on, and he died on a cross, and he suffered on our behalf. Didn't get his prayer answered. The suffering was not taken away. I would say he suffered as much as is humanly possible, both spiritually and physically, in our place. His prayer didn't get answered. A miracle didn't happen. God didn't swoop down and show himself. God didn't strike the Roman soldiers dead who were crucifying him. None of those things that could have happened did. Why? Because God has a better plan. And Jesus realized that his Father has the best plan. That's where our faith comes in, folks, is praying that God's will be done no matter if it's beneficial to us or not. That seems counterproductive, doesn't it? Why would I want to pray for something that may not help me? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of, are you following God for who he is or for what he does for you? I think it's having an eternal perspective of what's going on. Why do we pray the way we do? Because often it's met on just needs for today. I need to make my car payment, God. My family, we don't have enough money. I need to figure out how to feed my family. God, I need another job. God, I need all these things. And God often answers our prayers in a way we do not expect or do not welcome, for that matter. It's not the path that we would take for ourselves. And we sometimes think we've been shut out. God, I've done something in my life that's cut me off from you. You're not hearing my prayers. Oftentimes that is not the case when we're right with God and praying to him. It's not that we've been cut off from him. It's that we do have a connection with him. He's listening earnestly to what we're praying, and he's saying, you're willing to do this and do it according to my will, I am going to do that in your life because you have prayed that earnestly. It does not often turn out like we expect. I can give you an example from personal experience of something I prayed for. I was in a job that was horrendous. I did not like this job. I had taken a temporary job in Jackson, Tennessee, where we would have had to relocate, and this is some 25 years ago now. Liked that job, but I had also applied for a job here and was told I didn't have enough experience. Well, the guy that got the job here instead of me in Cleveland, he quit. That should have been my first sign. If he quit after 2 weeks, I should have known this is not going to be good. But I would rather live here. I like living here. I like living in Chattanooga. My family's here. Karen's family's here. So I came back and I took that job. Things were going decent, but I did not like the guy I worked for. He was hard to work for. He was not a Christian. He was a taskmaster. He treated our employees horribly. And I began praying, God, maybe I've made a mistake. I thought that was God's will for me to come back and work there. I thought that was what he wanted me to do. I thought this is in the career path. This is very much what I want to be involved in for the rest of my life. And I was miserable at it. This guy was horrible. We would pray. Well, I would pray. I don't know about the other people because I don't know if they were all Christians. I would pray that he would get stuck in traffic and wouldn't be at work, or something would happen and he wouldn't come in. He was that horrible to work for. Man, it was just an awful atmosphere we worked in. And I prayed about that. And you know what? I'm trying to think the year. It was in the 80s, the mid to late 80s. God answered my prayer. You know how he answered it? The guy laid me off. That is not what I prayed for. I wanted a different job, but you know, I kind of wanted to keep that one in my back pocket till I found the right one. It's like some of you guys date. I'll date her till I find the right one and keep her in my back pocket in case something better doesn't come along. That one's free, but some of you guys need to hear that. That's kind of what I was doing in my job situation. I was going to keep this one till something better came along. I had even gone as far as my response to it. I had gone and tried to make sure that everything was lined up. We had just bought a new double-wide mobile home. Yes, we are big rednecks. We bought the double-wide, not just the one. We got the double-wide. We got the big mama. It had real sheetrock. No, it just had paneling. I'm exaggerating. We couldn't afford the one with sheetrock. But we had just bought this and gone into debt. I think Cassie was already here at the time. I had made my plan to work for this company for my career. I had gone and asked the boss, who I hated, how are we financially? Is my job good? Because he was always budgetary problems. He was a poor money manager. And I went and asked him, is my job good? A month before I got laid off, he told me, absolutely, we're in fantastic shape here. No problems, no worries. I'd do it. Don't worry about it. You have nothing to worry about. Well, if you already don't like him and you don't trust him, I don't know why I listened to him. So I went and made that commitment. So here I am with a house payment, a car payment, a child, 3 weeks before Christmas, and no job. That is not the way I wanted God to answer that prayer. Why he did that? It's obvious to me now. I went and was out of work for a week and a half to 2 weeks and worked where I'm at today in a career I love with people I like working for and a job that gives me the flexibility to do what I do here at Journey. God orchestrated that on behalf of my earnest prayer to give me a job that was in his will. Not the way I would have wanted it to happen, but I can look back now over a period of 20 years and see how he shaped my life, and that was his answer. His answer was to get me out of that situation and put me somewhere else where I could be better used with my talents and be able to enable me to do what I'm doing today. I did not see that at the time, folks. I'm not a super Christian. I did not see it as being a positive move. I thought it was the worst thing that could ever happen to me is to lose my job right before Christmas. How am I going to buy Christmas presents for people? What am I going to do? Where am I going to find a job? Am I going to have to leave? Am I going to have to file bankruptcy? And obviously my boss there, I asked him about that, and he didn't care. I'm sorry. It was all about him. But I tell you all that so that you will know God has a plan for your life that is better than you can imagine. It may not seem like it when you're dealing with the circumstances day to day. But let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Well, some of the boys, if you ask for a fish and you gave them a snake, they'd be thrilled. Jake and Jonathan are carrying a rubber snake around this morning. They'd probably be okay with them. But most people do not want a snake instead of a fish. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father gives gifts to those who ask Him. Simply put, God knows what's best for you. And if you'll pray in His will, He's going to give you what's best for you. It may not look like it in the situation, but you're not going to ask for something good and God's going to go, just despite you, give you something bad. I mean, some people think God's like that. They think He's a holy dictator that's just waiting to smack you down. God, I would like a new job. I'm going to lay you off instead. How do you like that, big boy? I mean, that's the way we look at God. That's not His nature, folks. But we're so wrapped up in our own lives and our own circumstances, we look at God as smacking us down when He's actually blessing us. It's a phenomenal thing when you understand that. But here's the thing. Are you willing to sacrifice something short term in order to gain something eternal? That's a hard situation to be in. Are you willing to go through the pain that it may take you temporarily to get to where God wants you to be in an eternal perspective? Guys, our life here on earth is short, and it's only a small portion of God's plan for us. When we go and we meet God in heaven, and Jesus Christ is sitting at His right side, we're not going to sit there and just play harps and worship all day long. That's part of it. We are going to worship God. But worship is anything you do that pleases God. God will have things for us to do. A lot of those things that we will have to do in eternity have to do with how we performed here on earth. We are setting ourselves up. God has us in training for an eternal perspective, and we're looking only at the temporary. And it's so important that we focus beyond what's going on today to realize what could go on tomorrow. You know, I was listening to some music this week, and I caught this line. How many of you guys like Darius Rucker? Anybody like it? It's Hootie without the blowfish, so you'll know who I'm talking about. Here's the line in his current song, this. He says, "Thank God for all I missed because it led me here to this." Wow. That's a powerful line from a secular song which has a fantastic foundation in our faith. Thank God for all I missed because it led me here to this. God puts circumstances in our lives, and we miss out on certain things because He has something better in mind for us than even we ourselves can imagine. When we're not hearing those answered prayers or they're not answered in the way that we feel on a daily basis, it may very well be because God has a different plan. He has something He wants you to miss out on in order to obtain something better. Now, we've talked a lot about prayer. I know this is a series on miracles, and today we've tried to highlight what happens when miracles don't happen. But what about prayer? What does God promise concerning prayer? I mean, we have often talked that people see God as the holy Santa Claus. He's either a dictator or Santa Claus, depending on your relationship that week, I guess. He's either smacking you down or He's blessing you with goodies when you ask for them. God, I need a new car. God, I need a new job. God, I need a wife. I need a husband. God, I need physical healing. God, I need all these things. I have these thorns in the flesh, God, and I want them relieved. And we look at God as Santa, and He is supposed to give us exactly what we ask for. Well, obviously, as is illustrated through these scripture verses, you can ask, and remember, to ask in God's will is the key, and you may or may not get it exactly like you're asking for. That may be perfectly aligned with God's will, and He gives you a new car. If it is, that is fantastic. I'm happy for you. It doesn't always work that way, though. And don't go expecting it to work that way in others' lives. We as Christians are the world's worst about judging others based on their circumstances. We look at their circumstances and says, well, why is that man without a job? Why is that woman divorced? Why? Well, it must be something they did wrong. It's not true, guys. It's no more true for them than it is for us. And we need to have empathy and compassion for those around us and realize we're probably about this far away from being in the same circumstances ourselves. It's just that God took some things. We may have missed those things that they didn't miss. They got caught up in them. We missed them. You know, you may have sampled with alcohol and drugs when you were in high school, and you may have missed addiction. Some of your friends and other people that did the same thing didn't miss it. It has drastically affected their lives, and we should be thankful for that. Well, let's go on and talk about what God says about prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And we're confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Don't separate giving us what we ask for from the part that says for anything that pleases him. The things that please him are the things that are according to his will, and he will give us what we ask for when those two things match up. When God's will and our prayers match up, we see mighty movements of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we see mighty things that can only be attributed to God happen. That's what happens when those two things align. You know, sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But what if you don't even know what to pray for? What happens when you really aren't sure what you need to pray for? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been just at wits' end and not even know how to pray? Has anybody here been there? I've been there. I love to pray alongside friends. I talked about that a little earlier. People will ask Mark or I or any of their Christian friends sometimes to pray for them or pray alongside them. Sometimes I'm not privy to everything that's going on in their life. I don't know exactly how to pray for them. I don't know what the root cause of whatever their thorn in the flesh is. I simply don't understand it. And the person most likely doesn't understand why it's happening to them, whether it be a physical, spiritual, economical, whatever that thorn is. I may not understand what that is or how to pray about it. And they certainly don't know. So where does that leave us? If we don't even know how to pray, you know, we've been told that if we pray according to his will, he'll give it to us. He'll answer the prayer. But how do we get to that point? We don't even know what to pray for, God. How can I make sure you give it to me when I don't even know what to ask for? I'm so mired in my own problems and things, God, I don't even know what to ask about. I don't know what to do. And that is often the time that God's strength shows through our weaknesses. When we get to the very point of saying, God, I can't do it on my own. And he answers, exactly. I never wanted you to do it on your own. I never wanted you to go through this alone. I wanted to be there for you. I wanted to do the good things for you in your life, but you have been so strong-willed and stubborn that you have gone around my will in your life. I'll let you do that as a loving God that gives you free will. I will let you make your own decision. But I think God is so happy when we come to the point of fully relying on him in our lives. That's where we should be every day. But we tend to, as being human nature, to never rely on that point until the time of crisis. When it's just, how many times have you heard someone say in a situation, well, all we can do is pray? That's all we can do anyway, folks. It doesn't matter the situation, how good or bad. All we can do is pray. We don't control anything. God controls every aspect of our lives. And the only way to see a change for good, bad, indifferent is through God. He controls everything. So, yes, all we can do is pray. We were praying about some family we don't even know that is involved in an accident this morning. All we can do is pray. Yeah, that's dadgum right. All we can do is pray. And that's what we should be doing. We don't have to know the details. And I'll tell you why. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Did you get all that? Did you get the power in these two verses that we have through the Holy Spirit? That Spirit that as we become Christians and fully turn our lives to following Christ and trusting in his work on the cross to be sufficient for us, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And that Spirit can transfer things that we can't express into words into a legitimate prayer in God's will to God the Father. That's a pretty good interpreter, isn't it? Pretty darn strong translation that I can go from not even knowing what to say to having my prayer hit at God's feet and him know exactly what I'm praying for, what I need, and what will help me in his will. A very, very powerful set of verses. But we often don't pray that way, guys. We don't. We try, and I'll especially speak to this from a guy's point of view, we pray for fix-it prayers. Guys like to fix problems. We like to do things. We like to be responsible for those things. We like to fix the situation. We want to pray to God specifically. God, I need a new job that makes $32,500 a year and 16 cents. That's what I need, God. I know that's what I need, and I want to pray for that. We don't have to do it that way. We can just say, God, I don't feel that this job is fulfilling what you would have me to do. And if it's your will, I pray the Spirit will let you know how I feel, God, and in your will something will happen. That's an honest, heartfelt prayer. We don't have to worry about the specifics. We don't have to worry that God hears every detail. Yes, we can pray specifically. That's fine. Jesus prayed for a specific thing. He wanted suffering removed from him. But God understands. And God has a bigger plan for us than we can imagine. You know, one of the songs that we were singing this morning talked about all things working together according to God's own will for our lives and the goodness that would happen there. Guys in the band, if you come up, I'm getting ready to finish and we'll have our last song. But as you guys come up, I want you guys to think about this morning. What do I need in my life today? I am sure there are people here that every one of us, I know I have needs. I have no doubt that you have needs. You may have, have you noticed anything different about my teaching style today? What's different? What am I doing? I'm sitting. I don't normally, how many of y'all ever seen me sit for an entire message and teach? It's very rare I do that. I hurt my back a few weeks ago, and I have learned that one of my limits is don't stand for a real long time and walk around in one spot. It hurts my back. So I thought, sit in a chair. It's perfectly acceptable. But I've had that in my life to deal with. God has not taken that and miraculously healed me. I've done smart things by not overexerting myself and learning my limits. Maybe that's God's message is you're not as young as some people in your congregation. You can't do the same thing. Maybe you need to step back and look at what you do. And it hurts sometimes. And God hasn't just miraculously swooped down and healed me. Although I will be certain to ask for that. If it's his will, I will be more than happy to accept that and be able to be like a 20-year-old again. I am all for that. How many of y'all would like to do that? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are there and would love to have that. But I'm okay with whatever God does there because I want his will done in my life. And bottom line is, I want his will done in your lives this morning, whether it be needs in your life that are pressing, jobs, sickness, relationships. We have so many things on the plate. Those are important. Also, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the first step this morning. That is the biggest need you have, whether you realize it or not this morning. It's none of the things that I talked about this morning can happen in your life if you don't have that connection. If you have not been forgiven of the sins in your life, you can work and you can do things as hard as you can, and God is not going to hear your prayers because that's not the way it works. He works through the work of his Son, through Jesus. And when you accept and follow Jesus, you get a new relationship with the Father, the creator of all, who has power over your lives. So this morning, guys, if you haven't made that decision, I encourage you to start following today. You don't have to clean up and change your life immediately. Let God and the Holy Spirit worry about that as you pray. He'll take care of your life. Don't worry about that. But this morning, if you need that, I pray that as well. And guys, let's just have a closing prayer this morning before the band performs and ask God for these things. God, this morning, we have seen a lot about your Spirit, God. We have seen a lot about how you work in our midst. And God, we have also seen how you often don't answer prayers the way we would expect them to be answered, God. Many times we think we know what we need, but God, we see from this teaching that indeed the Holy Spirit who lives within us is who knows what we need. And if we pray according to your will, it may not be the immediate answer we want, but we know, God, as Father, that you can give us the good things for our lives, God. And we just pray this morning, the first step, the very first thing we need to do is make sure we have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we accept that he died on a cross and rose again simply to pay the price for our sins, and that he suffered, God. There was a suffering there that he didn't even want to undergo, but he realized it was in your will and went through with it. And we thank you, God, for your Son. We thank you for what he's done for us. And our whole foundation of faith is based on that, the good news, the gospel of what Jesus did. there's someone here, God, that hasn't made that step of faith, I pray they'll make it this morning. For those of us, God, that have faith in you and have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus, I pray that that Holy Spirit that lives within us, you coming to live inside of us, God, that we will wisely use the power that we have, and that we will pray to you that your God, your will be done in our lives, and that everything we do is done according to your will and purpose. Whether it helps us in a temporary circumstance or not, God, that we pray for the eternal picture of things and how you work to do good things in our lives, God. And I just pray this morning that we'll have the faith and peace to accept whatever your answer is, God, whether it lines up with our plans or not, that we will recognize you and that we'll recognize that through our weaknesses, God, your strength is portrayed and people around us see it and it makes you attractive to them, God. Because that's one of the reasons we're here, is to be a witness to those around us, God, so that they can see you're working in our lives and want the same thing for themselves, God, that we can see others come to know you and follow you. God, I just pray all these things this morning, all the things that Mark has mentioned coming up for the future of Journey. God, I pray that your Spirit will help guide us as we do these things as humans, that we do it the best way we can and we do it according to your will, God. And I pray especially for those with deep, deep burdens this morning, God, that you will give them a peace that they know when they pray that you're going to answer, God, because you have promised that when we pray according to your will, that things will happen in our lives, God. And I just pray all these things in your precious Son's, Jesus' name, and through the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen.